My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we have three guys that I would want on my team every day of the week. And they've been able to win. And I'm sorry, I think it's a credit to the front office. And these guys have done a great job. It's credit to development. They've done a great job of putting a competitive team on the field year after year after year. And in this year, which I think with Terry Francona not being here, everybody kind of thought, well, okay, let's see what this rebuild's all about. Well, there was no rebuild. Oddly enough, there was no rebuild.
Was it a philosophical rebuild by taking a longtime manager and then, I mean, he decided to step away. I'm not saying that by taking that and then coming up with someone who no one expected to be a manager for the Guardians. I mean, no one. Who would have called the Stephen Vogt? Nobody. I didn't hear anybody talking about him.
Not until the process a little bit. And yeah. when it came up, everybody was like, really? Okay. Great.
All right. So why do you think this is? Why do you think, like, I'll give you the whole psyche thing. Like, so we'll talk about that. Okay. And, you know, we talked about this before the show too. So is it a fan's perspective? Is it a media perspective on this team? Is it, you know, why is it the way it is for the Guardians that, you know, when they're down, everybody likes to pile on. And when they're up, people are kind of like, oh, okay, well, that's pretty cool. Let's see if they can keep it up. That I don't know the confidence is necessarily there. But if you look at the way they played out the season, second half in particular, you know, you start the second half of the season, you beat San Diego once, then you lose three. You beat Detroit twice, then you lose one, but then you come back and then you take two from Philly. Then you take two from Detroit. Then you split a four-game series with Baltimore. Then you hit this losing streak that ended with Baltimore with those two games there, and then you didn't see another win from your last win was August 2nd. Next time you find another win is August 10th. And then you go on to win five in a row. Then you lose three in a row. Then you win one, three, two, you know, but just back and forth to where the point is, it is truly a roller coaster the second half of the season, where the consistency of winning seemed to become a little bit easier in the first half of the season. Why is it that we think the way we do about the Guardians?
Well, I think people think differently about the Guardians. I think some people will forever think the organization is cheap. I think the organization is smart. You know, just because you spend money doesn't mean you spend it well. Do I wish this front office had an unlimited budget? Darn right I do. I think they'd be terrific. I think what I do know is that they know how to build an organization under the circumstances that they work in. And as I've always said, if I owned a team, I would run it the way the Dolans do. And throwing money at stuff like absolute crazy, that's not necessarily good business. And
When you say that, though, I mean, like, define what you're trying to say. This is one of those moments where I normally would say something for you.
We just don't know that. We know in town that this team doesn't have the same resources that the Dodgers have, that the Yankees have. Hasn't kept our team from being wildly competitive. And to be perfectly honest, Andy, I like it better. I'm not typical. You know, I don't need a championship to make me really like my team. I wish we had one. I haven't had a baseball championship in my lifetime, but I wish we had one. But, man, I love watching the team. I love watching how they work. I love watching how they build a team. And I give them credit. And it goes all the way back to when Hank Peters and John Hart started this thing. And it's been continuous. And I just think it's wildly impressive. And I give them a ton of credit. Do I want them to win? Sure I do. If they don't, am I going to be mad? No. And look what they've done this year. Look at this team. I mean, you said there are three guys on this team who are big-time guys. And you know what? I can't disagree with you. And yet they're winning. Their bullpen is lights out. They build a part of the team that you can do economically, but you can't miss. And they didn't miss. I mean, these guys, the front office of this team deserves so much more credit than it gets. And it deserves almost none of the grief that it sometimes gets.
Last night, did we find the formula for success for the stretch run here?
Yeah, but I think that's the case for every team. You get good starting pitching and some hitting from guys who aren't your stud players, you're going to win games. I mean, that happens. But we've grown accustomed to that here in town, Andy. We've grown accustomed to having really good starting pitching. Well, we haven't had that this year. You know, there's one guy who was a starting pitcher for this team at the beginning of the year. One. And that's Tanner Bibee.
Yeah.
Nobody thought Ben Lively would be a key part of this team. And Matthew Boyd and Alex Cobb were guys on other teams. Boyd didn't even have a team. And Gavin Williams was hurt.
Yeah.
One starting pitcher now started the season in the rotation. Hmm. And yet, look what's happened.
No, they've done a nice job. I don't know. It's hard not. I think they're a very likable team. You know, you watch the way they play.
And, easy to root for.
Yeah, they are easy to root for because, like we said, this isn't a team, you know, chock full of superstars. And your biggest superstar is a guy that wanted to be here and was willing to take less money to be a part of the team, which will make him a superhero when it's all said and done. Which is probably statue worthy when it's all said and done, and maybe, you know, he can be one of the guys that finds the end of the rainbow here, and can help this team try to, you know, not only get into the playoffs but advance to as close as they were against the Cubs a couple years ago, where we just kind of close our eyes and wish the rain never fell. So I look at this team, I look at where they are. They're up and down. They're a lot of fun to watch. When they're winning, they're really fun. But I tell you, last week, you know, when they were hanging on to a share of the lead, and not even they were behind percentage points wise, and then to see what's happened, Kansas City gets an injury here or there, and then all of a sudden Kansas City goes on the slide. As we've said the whole time, keep your eyes out for Minnesota, and Minnesota's, you know, behind you, but now you've got this series with Minnesota coming up where, you know, you're what? That's like right towards the end of the season. So that's September 16th through the 19th. When they take on Minnesota, those games will be here. It'll be really interesting to see what the crowds are like for that, considering it's a September series against Minnesota during the week. I mean, the fans have been outstanding on the weekends. Outstanding. I mean, they've been throwing 100,000 plus in every weekend, at least 90,000 plus every weekend. And now, you know, you look at this and you say, well, I wonder what it's going to look like when Minnesota's here, because, I mean, that could be a point. I don't know, with Minnesota, that could be a series where they could actually clinch if they can get at least a playoff spot. I would think that for sure that they would have a, I don't know, that's tough. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's about 7 games before the end of the season. So you would think that'd probably be the right time. They could clinch the Central there if they could take out Minnesota there. But you've got a little bit in between you because you've got to finish the series with Kansas City. Then you've got the Dodgers. Then you've got the White Sox. And for some reason, this team that's absolutely horrible in Chicago, we got to talk about Grady Sizemore from last night here, coming up in a bit too, and then Tampa before you actually see Minnesota. they're heading in the right direction, but why are they heading in the right direction? I think that's one of the questions that I want you to tell me. So why don't you? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. A week ago, they were on the gurney, and you thought they were slipping away. You didn't think necessarily think.
Menigan did. Thus his choice of music.
Which one?
Slip sliding away.
That was me. It was 100% me. I'm not going to throw him under the bus.
Okay.
That
well,
was me.
You
it
were
felt
wrong.
Like they were. I wasn't. They had slips. They were slipping away. Look, they
and they're back.
Yeah, they had a 9-game lead and they let it slip away.
And they're back.
That's not a. That's factual. That's not something that, you know. And now they've been able to do it. But how and why and do you trust it? And, you know, I don't know. I look at this team and they're hot now. And, man, if they can stay this way, this could be a really, really fun fall. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You saw what Brian Rocchio was able to do in last night's game. And, you know, 4 RBI, big night for a guy that's sitting at the bottom of the lineup. And especially right before that home run, he had failed on 2 bunts. And
fouled him off.
So, you know, for him to be able to hit that out of the ballpark after failing on the first 2 attempts on that, because, right, you want to get him in play. That wouldn't be.
Failing.
That's failing.
That's
so,
terrible.
Yeah, so he was able to make that happen last night. And he comes up with 4 RBI last night, which to me is, you know, that's that, man. That's what this team needs, man. They need guys like him to be able to come up and support some of the guys that have been coming through all season long. And, you know, even when you look at a guy like Stephen Kwan, who's had, you know, a successful year hitting .294, you know, you still need to have some of those guys at the bottom. I thought that was a part of the mix there when they were having trouble and they were struggling and they were falling back into the pack as they were getting nothing out of the bottom of the lineup. But then if you look at last night, you know Rocchio was at the bottom. He ends up with 4 RBI. Bo Naylor was 1-for-3. You know, Manzardo steps in there last night. He's 3-for-4. Will Brennan's 2-for-5. And that's all the bottom. And, you know, those are the things that are going to help this team win. That, and along with the starting pitching that we've been able to see over the last 4 or 5 games, it's been pretty exciting and fun. But it, as far as Rocchio is concerned, Jeff, like defensively, I think we're all extremely calm with it at the beginning of the year, going, okay, you know, he's your guy. But when you're hitting .211, and it's like it's an auto out sometimes when he was going to the plate. And for him to be able to step up last night, I think that's huge, and they need more of it. But as he solidified himself in that spot, you know, 100% for the rest of the year, Jeff, and to feel like, okay, they can win and they can win with him.
Here's the thing. At times, you have to just give young guys a chance to develop. I mean, you just have to. And
because we don't have the cash to put a cash Band-Aid on it? Is that what
no.
you're saying?
No. Because a guy you think is going to be a good player, well, you got to let him play. And I think we all think Rocchio is a terrific defensive player. I saw him hitting the minors a little bit. I thought, this guy's got something. You know, for sake of argument, Omar Vizquel is a rookie, hit .220. Hit .247 his second year, hit .230 his third year.
He had a lot of Band-Aids around him in that lineup, though.
That was in Seattle.
Okay.
So when he came here, he was hitting, you know, and he hit a little bit in Seattle. They gave him time. You know, he didn't really find his bat until he was about 25 years old. And when he did, terrific. And I think it's the same thing with Rocchio. I think Brian can hit. I just think it's going to take a little time. And people are too impatient sometimes when it comes to good, young, talented players. I mean, what's the most important thing for a shortstop to do? I'd love for it to be Bobby Witt, but, you know, it's not. There aren't very many Bobby Witt Juniors. Rocchio's really good with the D. He'll be okay with a bat. Just give him some time.
Dave is in Bay Village. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Dave?
Hey, guys. You know, I'm really not surprised that they're on a roll, because when they added Cobb and then the guy from Detroit, you know, things started turning. And I know when they announced that they were going to be adding these two guys, I know Dan was kind of chuckling, especially with the lefty. And I don't know. I mean, Antonetti, they really, when I heard interviews with them and read things, they kind of really were pretty sure that these guys were ready to contribute. So I kind of went by that. They didn't seem to hedge at all. I mean, they really felt confident that these guys had something left in the tank.
And, Dave, that's where these guys deserve credit. I mean, who pins their playoff pitching hopes on two guys who haven't thrown a pitch this year in the major leagues?
Right.
And they did, and it appears to be working. Appears.
Well, for as much as we all complain about, you know, we're still looking for that power hitting outfielder, which, as it turns out, they may have one that, you know, in Noel.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, these guys know pitching, and I guess when they come out and they make a statement, we're picking up these guys, and we honestly think they're going to be able to help us. I trust them. I think they. To me, they have earned that trust.
And see, Dave, that's exactly what I said earlier. I mean, and think about it. They did the same thing with Ben Lively.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, and I try to listen to their comments a lot and read things that they say. And when they don't hedge and, you know, when they say, well, you know, there's a big difference between, well, we're going to add this guy and we'll see what he can do. But they weren't saying that. They were pretty much coming out and saying, you know, we really think these guys are going to contribute. And if they're going to sound that sure about it, it's pretty hard to bet against them.
Well, Dave, I'm not trying to be a contrarian on it, but what else are they going to say? Well, we'll see if these guys work. I mean, knowing that they didn't have anybody else.
It's the track record, though.
Yeah, it's the track record, and you're not to be a smart ass here, but you're kind of wrong about that. I mean,
what else are they going to say? I mean, they needed starting pitching. We went into, like I said, that Kansas City game. We didn't have two starting pitchers because one of the guys they brought in, who's having some trouble with blisters and stuff on his fingers, wasn't able to pitch. And so they better believe in the guys they're bringing in, shouldn't they?
That's
their job.
But there's a big difference between we're going to add these guys and hope that they could do something, and then somebody come out and saying, well, we believe they're going to do it. And they said this with a great deal of conviction. So, that's just my perception of it.
It's all right. All right.
You know.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate
all right.
it. Yeah, I mean, look, they've done a fantastic job over the years of, and I don't know who was it that coined. I can't remember the interview we're doing, and it just kind of hit me that they're great at thrift shopping. I mean, let's face it, they took two guys that weren't pitching and said, okay, we're going to bank on these guys and let's see what we can get out of them when they come back in. They've done Chris is fantastic at that. He's fantastic, and he's been in that position for a long time, and so he gets it. He understands it, but he also knows that it's fragile. So let's hope these guys can keep it up. And I'm thrilled. Please don't think that I'm negative. Jeff and I have been talking about this for the entire season. It's just it was easy to get concerned when they lost the grip on first place and that they had to find themselves. And yes, I know I'll get texts from our friends. It's baseball. That's how it works. It's 162. Trust me, I've lived it with these guys before. I understand it. And it's a long process. And I think when you're on the inside of it, it doesn't look the same as when you're on the outside of it. And, you know, we're on the outside of it. I don't care what any of us. We're not the ones on the inside. So these guys internally had to figure out a way, you know, to stay the course and not fall off the face of the earth and not panic, especially for a young team, to not panic when you lost, a 9-game lead in the American League Central. And then they were able to build it back up. And part of its schedule, part of its health, a lot of its health, to be able to have a couple guys that you can trust to go out there. And then, again, you got what you got last night. Like, as I watched last night, I'm like, all right, hey, this team might be ready for the playoffs. They look like they're in a good position. If you can get, three and hopefully a fourth starter to feel like they can go out there and give you 5-6 innings during the playoffs, you've got a shot, man. You've got a shot.
And last four games make you think that that's here.
It does.
But that's small sample size for some of this, but you just need some consistency here.
And then we'll see how it rolls. You know, you head off to Los Angeles here. That's not an easy trip.
Mm-mm.
It's not. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. It's just, I don't know. I'm excited. I want to see what happens. But what more do you need to see here then, Jeff? Because I think you're on board. What else would you like to see from these boys trying to move forward here? And to give you a better feel, more confident feel on where they're going.
The starting pitching has to continue to be okay. Doesn't even have to be great, Andy. The last four games are a blessing. If this team gets that kind of starting pitching the rest of the way, they're going to make a deep playoff run. I'm convinced of that. Only thing it, I think, needs to really add to the mix, and I don't know if you can add it, is keep some hot bats. You bring up Kyle Manzardo. He's been pretty good since he came up. Makes me wonder why you waited, because the team was struggling offensively, but you kept your versatility. I have no idea. You know, I said too many times, and I didn't mean to bash two guys, but you didn't need both Schneeman and Freeman. Well, you still don't, but Manzardo has come up and hit the ball, and maybe he could have come up and hit the ball beforehand. Might have helped. Lead might be even bigger than 4.5.
I'll be interested to see how they play tonight. You know, they know they've won the series, right? And they get Lugo tonight. So he's 14-8. You go back and look at his last three starts. He's gone at least five innings in all three of those starts. But two of those starts, he's gone seven innings. Man, he had a rough one against Philly there. Gave up 11 hits. But this should be the showcase game of the series, don't you think? If you're Kansas City, man, you're borderline desperate now. You're letting it slide away.
They don't win this one. They're 6.5 back, Andy. That's tough.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
That's tough in September. They win tonight, they're okay. They're 4.5.
Just looking at Dan. I mean, what are your thoughts on all this stuff?
A four and a half game lead is not insurmountable by any stretch. So I mean, but.
It's tough.
You put, well, 6.5 is a lot tougher.
True.
I mean, they've done everything. They caught fire at the exact right time that they needed to catch fire. And the starting rotation has been the one that's done it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the starting rotation started to finally carry the hitting for a little bit, and then the hitting started waking up. And more than anything else, man, it saves your bullpen. A bullpen that was seriously taxed. And now that pen has had a few days that it can kind of rest. I mean, what? We're at three or four starts in a row of six innings?
Four.
Which in modern baseball is...
Gavin Williams won seven in one of those.
Yeah, modern baseball, that's massive. I mean, that's as good as it gets. And Matthew Boyd on the hill, and let's see if he's got another six-inning start in him. I mean, I'll be the first... I'll come out and say right here, I was wrong on Matthew Boyd. I was wrong. Flat out.
Oh, Jeff was singing his praises before.
Hey,
what I was singing, it wasn't him. It was the trust in the front office. They thought this guy was worthy of being signed and brought back over a 4 or 5 minor league starts and being an addition to the rotation for the stretch drive.
If that dude pitches the way
they've shown that they were correct.
If he pitches the way he did against Pittsburgh, that's a legit signing. That's going to make some noise. He limited the hard contact, got a lot more swing and miss. Hopefully there is more of that, because that's far more consistent than guys just ripping balls as hard as they can and fielders making great plays.
You know what I hate? His contract's up at the end of the year. I hate it.
I'm okay with that one.
Frank Stamps is going to join us next, former Browns linebacker. We're going to talk a little bit of football with him as the Browns get set to open up the season against Dallas on Sunday.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So cash the ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3. That's why I love talking to him. He is Frank Stams, and he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Frank. How are you?
Hey, Andy. Good morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Frank, how are you, sir?
I'm sitting here. I don't think there's a cloud in the sky. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful.
Let's get the Cowboys here. Let's go today. Let's play.
Yeah. Let's get, well, you know what? Let's bring a little weather. You know, I guess, you know, kind of thinking, let's bring a little weather to that Cowboy team. But that's not going
to
happen.
I think Sunday's supposed to be clear. We're supposed to get a little rain on Friday night, a little bit of rain for Saturday morning, and then we're supposed to be clear. Not that I'm a weather guy or anything, but.
Yeah, right. No, wishful thinking on my part, but no, it's going to be a beautiful Sunday.
Cowboys, Browns. That's a big time matchup. When you're getting ready to start a football season, what's this week feel like for a player?
You know, I was just thinking that it's a little bit, you know, more special. I mean, you know, this time, you know, the butterflies start to get, you know, real active game week. It's a different animal. I was just talking to Eric Metcalf and Bernie Kosar about this. You know, what's the difference between, you know, transitioning now from the preseason to game week? And it is different. You know, you're just more attention to detail. You should be anyways. A little bit more on edge. You know, a little bit more excited for everything. Everything's a little bit more. So, you know, that's, and then playing the Cowboys. I mean, you know, with their history, you know, they're coming to town. I mean, it's a great opener. It's a great opener for the Browns, you know, national television. You know, if you can't get excited for this game, then you gotta find another sport.
Frank, what's your confidence level in Deshaun Watson right now?
So my confidence level, listen, I'm going to be a believer. I'm going to see the glass half full. All right, even though everything kind of tells me, you know, what's the track record? And the track record, we all know, you know, is not proven. But you know, there's been some, you know, circumstances, you know, injuries, and that's, you know, kept him off the field, you know, or becoming the quarterback that we all want him to be. So, you know, I got to believe him, got to believe, you know, that he's a competitor, and that's what it comes down to, is whether or not you want to, how much more do you want to win than the other guy? You know, all these guys are talented, but how much are you going to win, you know, are you going to win your individual battles out there? And then that translates into, you know, a lot of times a team win. Are the Browns going to make the six or seven plays that are going to make the difference in this in this game? It's a, you know, they've got it a tight game, and I see it the same way. And you've got to win those plays, you know, whether it's, you know, preventing the big play, whether it's creating the big play, whether it's a turnover, you know, and the Browns, you know, so I'm hopeful for Deshaun that he becomes the Deshaun that we all want him to be. You know, what worries me is, you know, the lack of, you know, preseason time, the game, you know, the game experience. And, you know, is he still on a not so much a learning curve, but getting back to that form that he had, that's why we, you know, we went after him. So, you know, that was the long of it. The short of it is, you know, I'm 75% hopeful or believing in Deshaun.
Frank Stams joining us, former Browns linebacker, guy who loves the running game. The Browns have shown they love it. They have Nick Chubb. They don't have him now, Frank. Are you comfortable with the combination of Jerome Ford, Pierre Strong, and Deontay Foreman? And how do you think they'll use that? Because there are three backs there who you think, huh, I'd like to get him carries, but I don't know if you can get all three carries.
Well, you know, and you guys know this. Your listeners know this. You're just like your quarterback. Your quarterback's only as good as your offensive line, and you know, that's the way I see a running back. he's only going to be as good as that offensive line. How much are they going to? What I always like to watch opening the game is where's the penetration? Is the defensive line getting penetration? Whether it's a run game, the passing game, you know, who's controlling the line of scrimmage? And that's something you want to watch. You know, if that running back's making cuts in the backfield, that's not a good thing. They want downhill to the point of attack, and then they can, you know, be making, you know, cuts there, you know, at linebacker level once they get into the hole. And so, you know, I'm as confident with the running backs as the line goes, and I think the Browns have a pretty good line. Now, having said that, you know, they've got some interesting different chemistry now with Callahan leaving, and you know, how what's that meeting room look like? What's the philosophy? What's the what's the attitude? But I think they're older, they're wiser. I think it's a good group. I think it's good chemistry, and that's, to me, is you know, one of the top things you got to have. I mean, these, you know, they got to play well together, got to be on the same page. You know, the calls at the line of scrimmage, they, you know, they can't have any mistakes, or keep the mistakes to a minimum, you know, and that's going to be the key. That's going to be the key to that success of that running game, that they got hat on hat up front, everybody's accounted for, and then especially also with, in the passing game, protecting Deshaun, not only with a four-man rush, but any kind of pressure.
All right, let's talk about the defense a little bit more here. And, you know, what did we learn last year with Jim Schwartz? And I always thought it was just odd, Frank. They struggled on the road compared to at home. And I just, like, how does that happen and why?
Well, that's, if there's anything we learned, like, we want to play every game defensively. We want to play every game at home. Because I'm still scratching my head on that the Texans game. I don't know. I mean, I know Schwartz. He was there when I was there under Belichick. And, you know, I love, you know, what he said when he first came to town. He said, listen, we're no smarter than, you know, anybody else, but we're going to hold people accountable. And that's what it's all about, holding your defense accountable, the leadership on that defense, holding the younger guys accountable. I mean, I was scared to death of Pepper Johnson. You know, he was going to throw me out of the huddle if I didn't play well. And that's a different kind of motivation than comes from the sidelines. So that that leadership with the Browns, you know, as far as on the field, has got to be there. You know, they got to be tough and nasty. And that's what defense is. You know, they got the players, and they got to get after it. Myles Garrett, you know, he's, you know, that's a matchup. You're going to want to see him have a day come Sunday. You know, he's one to give Dak Prescott fits. And, you know, you pressure a quarterback, Dak Prescott, he'll fold his 10. He'll throw some picks, maybe create some defensive scores. So, you know, and I like that leadership that I heard coming from, you know, the secondary. I don't know if it was Newsom or Delpit said, hey, listen, I'm worried about the lack of playing time some of these guys are getting in the preseason. I love that. You know, I know it may be a new world, but some things that happened 35, 40 years ago weren't that bad. And you got to get out into the field so that you hit the ground running that first game. And, you know, I like that, you know, holding people accountable. So I think they got the right attitude on defense. Defense is a big part. You know, attitude is a big part of defense. I think Schwartz is doing a great job. Let me just add to the addition of Mike Vrabel too. Tough, nasty Northeastern Ohio guy. You know, he's going to bring a good attitude towards that team. You need some more guys with the Browns in that organization with some wrinkles. I see too many, you know, non-wrinkly faces. They need guys that talk. They need guys that talk. You know, like a Rocky's manager,
Burgess Meredith.
Yeah, they need Mick. They need more guys like Mick. Yeah, I had those guys. You got to get some seasoned, nasty guys and play that way.
Wait, do they live in that world still, though? I was listening to you in the beginning, and I was going to ask you, like, you felt like you had to be, like Pepper Johnson was holding you accountable. Are we still in that world where guys kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to say today's game right. soft, but
right.
like everyone's so worried about everybody's feelings game, and stuff. And
No, today, in general, I'm not saying the players are softer. There's some mean, nasty players out there, but in general, the game is softer. And if they're not holding, if that leadership in the huddle, guys like Myles Garrett and JOK is not holding that, and Delpit and Newsom aren't holding, you know, their teammates accountable, then they're doing a disservice to the team because they need to. Now, in this day and age, is that right? You know, again, a good point to the not everything that happened 40 years ago is a bad thing. And that's the kind of thing that still needs to exist, because when you get guys out there just playing, you know, for, you know, whatever, the next contract or who's going to make the ESPN highlights, you know, that's not playing, you know, with the right mindset, in my opinion.
Frank Stams is joining us, former Browns linebacker. When this division gets fired up, Frank, you're going to see Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. And you got Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. You got Deshaun Watson here. You got Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh, at least for now. That's a pretty good quarterback division. But I think it screams for the Browns that Deshaun better play well, because you know Lamar Jackson's going to play well. You know Joe Burrow's going to play well. I mean, it still comes back to the quarterback play here.
No, you're exactly right. It is a tough division, if not the toughest in the league, and what I'm hearing, and you're rightfully looking at it, you know, with a lot of quarterback ability, experience, and that's why I want to say the team with the best defense is probably going to be right there in December. And what I mean by that is you've got games that your offense is going to win for you, and then you've got games that your defense is going to win for you. And the defense has got to be able to hold the score down low. I remember in that 94 team that I played on, going into the last game, Saban couldn't have been more proud of that defense. With myself and Pepper Johnson and Carl Banks at linebackers, we did something. We had a chance to do something in the NFL that only a handful of other defenses had done, and that's hold their opponent the entire season to under 200 points. And of course, we go out there and we give up 17 points, and we miss that mark. But my point being is, you know, that playoff team in 94 where we won, I think, 11 or 12 games, we were able to hold the score down so that, you know, the offense could win those close games. But if you're constantly giving up, you know, to these guys, Burrows and the other guy, you're giving up 28, 30 points, it's going to be a long season. That's too much pressure to put on your offense. I don't care who your quarterback is.
All right, let me ask you this one. It's just, and this is a big picture question just about the organization itself. And Jeff Shadell wrote a really good story about this the other day, too, in the News Herald, that when Kevin Stefanski steps out onto the field on Sunday, he'll become the longest tenured coach of the Browns since they were reborn in 1999. How important has it been for ownership to be patient with this group, be patient with Kevin Stefanski, and what does that say for the future of the franchise?
I think that speaks volumes. You've got to be patient. You've got to be committed to your guy. You know, that sends a message to the players. It's the, Coach Stefanski, he's the guy that ownership believes in. And, as a result, you're accountable to him. And you got to give a guy at least 3 years, maybe more, you know, to get his culture in, and to get his system in, and get guys believing, and develop the leadership in the locker room. It's extremely important, to your point. And I applaud them for that. You know, it's the exception rather than the rule to have a guy come in, you know, 1 or 2 years and win. You got to do it. you got to commit to your, just like players, you got to commit to your coaches, you got to commit to your players. And, you know, I think that's the right way to do it.
By the way, I'm still trying to let this sink in. A St. V guy just praised a Walsh guy?
That hit me, too. I was thinking of that, too.
What the heck is going on, Frank?
How about that? No, you gotta give credit where credit's due. And, you know, I put those colors down along. It's still in there, but they try to be a professional about it. And, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. That's all funny right stuff.
It is good stuff. All right, Frank. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We'll talk to you later. Thanks, Frank.
Go Browns.
Frank Sams, former Browns linebacker, again on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I thought he brought up a great point, Jeff, about, you know, just being held accountable and being a young player walking into a huddle and being intimidated by a guy like Pepper Johnson, right? Like, I don't know that the game is still that game anymore. Because everything he was saying, I was listening to, and I was just like, that's how it used to be. I don't know that that's the way it is now. I think money is involved. I think, I don't know, just clout. I don't know that the game is still the way the game was. We'll talk about that here in a second. 216-474-0092, especially when you don't have the practices that are the way they were. You know what I'm saying? 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3. If not a 1 o'clock kickoff, that's a good, I think that's a refreshing feeling that you get to sleep in or watch some of the other games before the Browns actually play, and then they get that big nationally televised audience for the 425 window. And so I can't wait to see what they look like. I can't wait to watch this game, and I hope that they can live up to expectations. So I want to talk about that. I also want to get into the quarterback play in the AFC North, Jeff, because I think it's going to make the year extremely interesting.
I think it's a fascinating division when it comes to quarterback play. And our guy has to step up. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, Deshaun Watson has to step up. Lamar Jackson's the real deal. I mean, he's really good. And now he's different, but he's really good. And Joe Burrow's coming back from his injury. Joe's terrific. Joe's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So what has to happen? Your quarterback has to respond, and he has to be able to play. I also think Pittsburgh's situation is better than most people think it is. I know Russell Wilson didn't click with Denver and Sean Payton. He still threw 26 touchdowns, and he had 8 interceptions last year. And put him with Mike Tomlin, put him with George Pickens. Let's see what they might be able to do there. I would think Wilson's going to be better in Pittsburgh than he was in Denver. And that should be a concern.
But not as good as he was in Seattle.
Probably not.
All right, so this is a weird, just listen to the setup for a second, and then because it's interesting that you bring this up about the Steelers. Do you ever get that feeling like when you were a kid and you would you'd go to the counter maybe at a drugstore, and you would look behind the person that was the cashier, and there were always magazines there, but the magazines were kind of blocked out?
Yeah, and you weren't supposed to look at those. You were a kid.
Right, you with me on this, Dan? You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you know what I'm talking
about? Oh, that kind of stuff happened, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like I peek behind where you're not supposed to, and I read SteelersDepot.com, which is kind of their
– way to go, man.
That's their Sports Illustrated affiliate. Guess who they think – when they were ranking the rooms for
– The rooms.
The quarterback. It's called ranking the rooms. Last year, going into the season, they thought the Browns were the worst quarterback room in the AFC North.
Yeah, they thought theirs is now, I'll bet.
They think theirs is now.
Yeah, I'll bet they do.
And who do they think has the best?
Overall?
The AFC North, best quarterback room.
I would hope that they would say Cincinnati.
They said the Cleveland Browns. Josh Kearney wrote this story for Steelers Depot, which is, again, I think is affiliated with Sports Illustrated. But anyway, he said, after having the worst quarterback room in the AFC North last year in my series, the Cleveland Browns take a massive leap all the way to number one this summer due to the depth and experience in their room. Remember, this is about depth, not just about the starter in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So Cleveland brings back Deshaun Watson for year 3. He's coming off major shoulders injury. But there is some concern there. He's also been rather disappointing and has been nowhere near worth the trade and the fully guaranteed contract the Browns did to land him. Okay, so in true Steelers form, he had to throw a couple digs in. I respect that. I have no problem with that.
Well, that's the way to go.
Yeah. But this could be the year that Watson finally clicks in for Cleveland. Whoa, the talent is there, but the health has been an issue, and it's also been an adjustment to Kevin Stefanski's offense. After seeing Joe Flacco go on an absolute heater last season, leading the Browns to the playoffs, after Watson went down with season-ending shoulder problems, the Browns let the fan favorite walk in free agency. Instead of re-signing Flacco, landed with the Colts. The Browns added two veteran quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and then Tyler Huntley at the time, adding to their quarterback room. Oh, I wonder. And then he said, with second-year pro Dorian Thompson-Robinson behind Watson. Wow. Like, I don't know. Is he trying to suck me in to make me want to believe that? So no. On paper, he's saying the Browns have the best quarterback room in the AFC North.
Room is great. Room comes into play if your starter gets hurt. Where's our starter?
Third is pecking order? I don't know.
Third, maybe fourth.
He needs to prove it. Like, to me, he's fourth because he's got to prove it.
Well, I think he's Russell third. Wilson needs to prove it, too.
Yeah, I think he's better than
Pittsburgh. I think they're kind of tied, to be honest with you. Well, we haven't seen it from Deshaun. Russell Wilson played last year, threw 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That's pretty good. I know it didn't work with Sean Payton, and they wanted him out of town fast, so much so that they're paying all of his salary. But let's see what he does. I think he'll be better in Pittsburgh than he was.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
was in Denver, and that should be a concern to Browns fans.
It's interesting how you look at the quarterbacks in the AFC North, and it's like, okay, are we going to sit here and have it? Are we having you can have a debate about the two teams that have a quarterback and whose quarterback is number one, or you could talk about the two teams that are waiting to see their quarterback emerge between us and the Steelers, right? It's the same kind of feeling there. So I look at the, you know, Joe Burrow versus Lamar Jackson, I think is a fascinating debate on who would you take.
They're very different styles,
right? Which makes it more even more interesting.
Mm, true.
If you had to pick a quarterback, who are you picking?
Gosh,
it's a tough one, isn't it?
It's real tough because I have so much respect for Lamar Jackson and his abilities as a football player. I would probably take Joe Burrow. I think Joe's just a great passing quarterback, and this is a passing league.
I would take Lamar Jackson.
Lamar doesn't get enough credit for his passing.
No, I Here's the biggest reason. I'm taking Lamar because I know that he's had injuries too, but Joe hasn't played a full season in the NFL. Think about it. And, if you're looking at the big picture, would you rather have Lamar or would you rather have Joe? What I'd really like to have is a 100% healthy Deshaun Watson. I'll tell you that.
Well, that would work.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Greg Williams is going to join us at 1220. I can't wait to hear from him coming up here in a little bit, too. Plus, I also want to talk about, did you see the former Indian get kicked out of the game last night? Did you see it? That's right, Indian. Former Indian that got kicked out of the game last night? If you didn't, we're talking about that when we come back. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. You feel better?
It's that first T. Is it silent? Is it not?
Huntington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huntington.
Huh. Okay.
It's a big word. I like it.
It is a big word for a big stadium. How's that sound?
I like that, Andy.
All right, a couple things I want to talk about. We'll do a couple non-football things here real quick. Did you see Grady Sizemore last night? Oh, man.
You mean the nice, mild-mannered Grady Sizemore?
I can't believe that's the same Grady Sizemore that we would talk to pretty much every day for 5 years or as long as he was here. I can't believe that was him. I didn't even think that guy ever spoke a dirty word. And, man, he dropped I don't know, 50 or 60 of them in his conversation.
There were words there that he spoke?
Wow. I can't believe it. I can understand being frustrated. You got some?
Yeah, I was going to say, here's the TV call of it, courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago.
Wow. I got to tell you, I think Hunter's going to get it suspended for that too, Jeff. I can't remember the last time I saw an umpire. We know what umpires say sometimes, but he was extremely argumentative with the manager. How many times do you just see an umpire just kind of stand there and say, okay, you got your say, goodbye, see you later, right? He was getting back in his face. He was unbelievably aggressive. And then Benintendi got right back into it, too. He ended up arguing with him, and then he got tossed. So, I mean, to watch that last night, I totally can understand the frustration Grady's got going on in Chicago. I get it. Totally understand it. I hope he gets a chance to be a manager for a while. I want to see what he can do.
You know what a gentleman Grady is, though? Before he went out to argue, he threw the gum out of his mouth. Just so we didn't spit it on the ump by mistake.
I'm telling you, I Jeff, I can't ever remember seeing Grady Sizemore look like that.
Grady was a pretty mellow guy.
Unbelievably mellow. Like if
pretty mellow guy.
He would just kind of, Bob Newhart you? I'm just trying to think he would just kind of like subtly dig you or cut into you.
Bob Newhart and just died, Andy. He was in his 90s.
I know. I'm just saying. At least he was in his 90s. At least I didn't make a century-year-old reference there.
You know, the thing about Grady, see, and you have a bad perspective on this, and so do I. We knew him when he was just a kid. He still looks like a kid.
I know,
to
he
me.
Looks exactly. He's in great
when he
shape.
Goes, he just walks out of the dugout to go argue with an umpire. It's like, hey, young man, get back in the dugout. You got to go play center field.
I'd love to talk somebody over at the at Guardians organization and say, did you ever see him like this? I don't ever remember him.
He's a mellow
losing his
guy,
cool
man.
Like that. Ever.
Well, he was just standing up for his team.
Yeah, and he was right. If you go back and watch the strikes that were being called, they're not even close. Now, I think Benintendi might have been. I mean, they were losing 9-0. And, you know, I give Grady credit. Maybe he's just trying to fire up his team because they had a really, really bad play in that game, too. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Grady may have just wanted to go home. This is courtesy of Masson. This took place last night.
If you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more and let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out.
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness. The White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
And by that, it was a pop fly by Eloy Jimenez that dropped between three fielders who went Keystone Cops on it and was just embarrassed themselves.
You'll have that.
If there was ever a team that needed to sim to the end of the season, it is the Chicago White Sox. That's just like, can we just simulate this and go into the offseason and stop playing baseball now? I mean, they're going to break the Mets record. They're breaking it.
What was this number may not be right. The American League Central is, 26 games under 500 as a combined group, 36 games under 500, and every team in the American League Central is over 500 except for the White Sox. That's how bad they are.
Yeah, courtesy of our Grant Brisby, one of the best writers going. AL Central is 38 games under 500. The AL Central has five teams, and four of them are over 500.
That's how bad Chicago is right now.
You'll have that.
Oh, you will?
Oh, you will, will you?
They're making history.
I mean, they're going to take down the Mets win total. They are a train wreck, and nobody wants to be there. Except maybe Grady Sizemore. He might be the only one who's like, you know, I'm okay coming to work every
day. Garrett Crochet would love to get out.
Oh, yeah. He'd love to be there. That'd be great.
I could watch this argument all day, just to read lips.
Luis Robert is, like, openly rebelling. He just doesn't want to be there anymore. They are a train wreck.
I'm trying to count at least one, two, three. I think Grady said the magic word at least 10 times.
You'll have that.
I never thought that man swore.
You'll have that.
Yeah, I mean, do you know how mad he had to have been last night to get to, like, oh, wow. And it was like Hunter wanted to fight him, too. That's the crazy part, right? How often do you see an umpire just, like, totally get back into a manager's face like that? Unless that's his way of saying, hey, you've got the worst team in baseball, and you're out here arguing with me on balls and strikes. You're losing 9-0, and it's the sixth inning.
It's easy for everybody to pick on a team when it's really down. And that might be what happens with umpires.
Oh, it's been brutal. Our buddy Scott Petrak up here on the X, the Browns pre-practice injury report.
Oh.
All players on the active roster expected to practice.
Wow.
Including Jedrick Wills and David Bell.
Very nice.
Well, now do we have to worry about who our left tackle is going to be? Well, we'll find out here in a couple minutes, I would think, at noon when Kevin Stefanski speaks. You'll be able to listen to that.
What do you do?
Huh. I don't know. All right, we're going to come back to that in a second here. Hang on. I'm going to take one phone call real quick. Let's go to Jack. Hey, Jack, how are you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I've never seen an umpire lose it like that I can recall. But I think the reason Sizemore was so frustrated is they must have told him before the game that he might have a shot to actually get the full-time job. I agree. I would love to see him be a manager, but I mean, you guys know they're years away. Even if he goes there next year, they lose 100 games, and then they get up to a slow start the next year, he'll be fired, and it won't be his fault. I'd rather see him be a coach for another couple years and get a job where he can realistically do some things, you know?
It's hard to get that job, whether your team's good or bad, though. That's the issue.
No, I know. Yeah, no question.
I don't know. It's just interesting. Can you ever remember seeing him like that? I don't ever remember seeing him that mad, ever. But I understand why he was doing it. I know both sides of the coin. Yeah, that was just a level of frustration where, two guys just collided. That's all. You know,
the closest thing with the umpire would be Joe Brinkman and Grover in that playoff game when he tossed Grover and Doc Gooden in the first inning. That's the only thing I could come up with.
Yeah,
good memory.
You're right. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. All right, I just want to bring up one other non-football story because we're going to be all a ton of football here. Greg Williams is coming up at 12:20. Kevin Stefanski's press conference. Also hearing that Deshaun Watson might speak coming up in the next hour. So we're going to talk about all those things coming up here in just a moment. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. There you have it. Kevin Stefanski, Browns head coach, stepping out to the mic today. Jed Wills will practice, and he didn't give us a word, did he?
Said if he's healthy, he starts, right? Wasn't that the question? And he said yes. Oh, boy.
Well?
It's a tough spot, Andy. You have three tackles that you like.
I guess the question is, how limited would Wills be in that game?
I don't have any idea.
I can't imagine.
They'll see what he looks like today.
I mean, if he hasn't practiced, and like I totally understand Kevin's hesitation, right, by answering any of these questions, other than the fact that he has everybody healthy today going into week one. I don't think you can ask for anything more, can you?
No, that's the way to go, isn't
it?
Congratulations.
When the question was asked about how you prepare during the preseason to get ready for the regular season, the answer has come to fruition, right?
And if you're ready to practice on Wednesday, before the first game of the season, you're good to play. You're good to play in the first game of the season, as long as things go okay in practice today and Jed Wills is fine and he's ready to go. Apparently, he will be the starter, which means, okay, you're going to tell DeJuan Jones, hey, nice job last year, young guy. Sit down. You know, the thing of it is, Andy, I wonder, and Greg Williams is going to join us momentarily. I wonder, can you actually rotate tackles? You know, I mean, you can rotate any player.
He would know.
I know. I mean, we talk, and defense, you can do that, but can you rotate tackles and get effective play out of all of them? Because all three are coming back from injury. You might want to limit exposure and try and keep them fresh.
So let me ask you this question. Why are we concerned about that on the offensive line, but never concerned about that when it comes to defensive ends?
Because they just keep bringing guys in and out on the defense. You're right. I don't know. And sometimes they aren't. You know, the Browns became legendary back in the day by the messenger guards bringing in plays.
Right.
You know, so they alternated guards. And you could, I think you can do that. I mean, why couldn't you? I mean, by series, you know?
But if we made the game so specialty that you really can't feel comfortable.
Well, that's
doing that.
That's a good question.
Isn't that one of the reasons why we like Jim Schwartz so much? Because he's willing to say, okay, you know what? I know you might be starting, but I'm going to change and we are going to hustle as hard as we possibly can on every play. So guess what? I may use four defensive ends in this game, which is a possibility, right? You look at that. We used to rotate linebackers, I used to think this way, and especially the defensive backs. Because we are strong with depth in the defensive backfield. So it's easy for Jim to look at this and go, wow, okay, well, I can plug this guy in because he might be better in this kind of a play, or I can see what they've been running. We can kind of try to figure out, or at least look at what the hand is that's being played against us without actually seeing all the cards. So he can make adjustments on that defensive side in the secondary. But you know, but on the offense, we get real tight. Like we're like, oh, I don't know, I gotta have the same five guys in unison, and we gotta make sure that we're doing this right. With DeJuan Jones, I do think that you do have three tackles. The question is, what does it matter if you're switching from right to left? If not four, I mean, look, James Hudson can play. James Hudson can play.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know. I think I would err on the side of swinging one of those right tackles and making him a swing tackle.
All right, let's get answers. Let's do this. Greg Williams, former Browns coach, is going to join us. And also we're going to hear Deshaun Watson in the hour. We got a lot of stuff going on right now. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Come out and do it. And just like I talked about Deshaun staying on time, Russell has been able to improvise and create longer passing downs and all that kind of stuff with how long he holds the ball. He better be able to stay on time, because otherwise I think it'll be a short time and it'll be the next man up with the young guy, Justin, stepping in there.
All right, Greg, I got to ask you something I've always wondered. How do you call Arthur Smith, whose dad started FedEx and offered that guy a job? How do you do that?
You love that. And Fred and I had a talk here just a few weeks ago too. Fred was a principal owner at the Redskins at that time, and so he had already bought into the Redskins. So yeah, it was an interesting thing. Fred and I go way back, and Arthur was just coming out of college and getting started in the scouting area, and I walked over and asked him if he wanted to coach. And I said, "You're gonna have to dumb down, because we always know the scouts and the GMs and everybody else is smarter than everybody else. So if you want to dumb down and come over to coach, come over with me right now." And he picked his books up and he came over and started coaching with me. But it always goes way back, and I still stay close to that family.
Seriously, a guy's got to love football to not work for dad in FedEx.
Yeah.
Greg,
yeah,
that's serious there.
No doubt. But, you know, that's one of the things Fred did with all of his children, is that he had them, you know, once they got out of college and everything, they had to make a life of their own. And anything from inheritance and all that other kind of stuff that goes on with him, he set an age limit on all that. And nothing came back to them until they hit that certain age limit. They had to go out and earn their own things. They got used cars. They got used, you know, small little residences he made him start and learn how to work just like he did when he was growing up.
Hey, Greg, when we watch Myles Garrett play, I think from a fan's perspective, we get real excited when he's able to get through two guys blocking him or he can get through and get the sack. From an insider's point of view, what makes Myles Garrett so great?
Well, his physical, his raw physical ability, his explosion, his strength and power, his change of directions, outstanding. He could play a lot of positions other than just the position he's playing. You know, he could be playing other sports other than the sports that he's playing here. He's a rare athlete that way. But I think one of the things that, you know, I think you'll see Jim do this year, and he did a really good job of moving Miles around and make the offenses locate where he was at, anywhere going from a zero technique on the center or over the guards and, you know, inside-outside techniques there or the defensive end position and even some stand-up positions that Jim played him. You know, I think the big thing is if you don't want the protection to always be sliding to him, then you've got to be able to have a pressure angle or what we call a simulated pressure where you're bringing pressure off of the front away from Miles so that you can capitalize on that because of always sliding the extra guy going towards Miles. But I can't wait to see him start going. I think he's in rare condition. I think he's worked very hard. He's very healthy right now. I had a chance to be at the game and talk with him a little while before one of the games, the first preseason game here this year. And he's ready to roll, and I think this is a big-time game, and it'll be fun to hear Tom Brady calling Miles Garrett's name so many times.
Yeah, we were thinking about that, too. That Brady's going to be an interesting thing to see. Greg, as a longtime defensive mind, when you look at the Browns' offense, what concerns you more? Is it the passing game or is it the running game?
Well, you know, anytime it's just, you know, when it's so emphasized one over the other, it's when you have a close of an even balance. Those are the things that worry you the most. And when and if you cannot stop the run game by not overloading the box, when you have to overload the box, meaning that you have to have extra guys down in there to play the run blocks, to play the run game, then that allows them to have one-on-ones in the pass game where they can take shots down the field. And Dak's done a very good job with those type of things. I do believe that it's more than just CeeDee Lamb. I think they've got some really good receivers that they can take those shots down the field. And I think Jim's got to be able to do a good job stopping the run game, forcing them to have limited pass protections and let these guys hunt in the pass part of it. But it's going to be fun for me to see him trick and move some coverage things around to where it's not just going to be Dak going to CD every time he wants.
How important is it to get a win in week one? They've been few and far between for the Browns since they've come back in 99.
I think it's really important to start the season that way. I really do believe that. I think it's something that it builds and builds and builds, and it's something the Browns have been needing for a long, long time. So I do think it's very important, and I'm sure Kevin and Jim and Andrew and those guys have emphasized that a lot. So it's very important for not only for the team but the fans too.
Great to have you with us. Thank you, Greg.
Hey, you know what? You guys do such a great job, and I appreciate everything you all do and the fans do too. And I want to say this one more time so that the fans hear this, is that it's not a home field advantage unless the fans force the visiting team to call one or more timeouts because they can't hear.
That's great.
They can't hear. So make sure, fans, that you're using your voice and helping this team win.
Sounds like a plan. Hey, Greg, I forgot to congratulate you on your golf outing over the weekend. I had some friends that played with you and that played over the weekend. So
yeah, it was good.
Good job with that. Way to raise some money there, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys keep on going. Good luck.
All right, thank you. Greg Williams, former Browns defensive coordinator, former Browns head coach. And, of course, you can always catch his show on Big Play on Monday nights with his son, Blake. So, awesome job. Love having him on. And, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Always insightful. Always insightful. All right, so we're going to hear from Deshaun Watson, hopefully coming up here real soon, and we'll talk a little bit more about what Coach Williams had to say. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3, the Fan.
And if it's a right tackle, he'd be replacing a Pro Bowl right tackle, who probably doesn't need replaced. And over on the other side, you've got a left tackle who you invested a first-round draft choice in, who's better than people give him credit for being. All right, Jed's had a rough go here, and I think Jed does a real solid job and could develop into a big-time tackle. I don't want to see any of those guys go away. That's why I asked Coach, can you rotate guys? He didn't like that idea. You know, he prefers put a tackle out there and let him go. I understand that completely. I honestly agree. I'm just looking for a solution here because I truly think you have three starting tackles sitting right there.
I do too, but I'm concerned about health. Like the thing about ask me who I start. I'm gonna start Jed Wills if I think he's healthy enough can play. He is going to start at
he's
left
been
tackle,
your starter.
And Jack Conklin's going to be my other starter on the other side.
I get that, and Andy, I can't argue with you. You could pick any two of those guys, and I couldn't argue with you.
I think that's the way you have to go if you're Kevin. I mean, those guys earn those spots. You know, I understand injuries there. Jones is still young. And like we've said a million times before, I think.
So's Jedrick Wills.
I don't know why. I've seen him have some games where I was like, ugh. I still think he's in a hard spot because we still want to compare him to who was there before him. And, you know, the problem I have with playing him this week is he hasn't practiced at all. I mean, we're talking about trying to get him ready in 3 days, right?
Well, and maybe, you know, if he does play, okay, great. If he doesn't, then who's going to play left? Is it going to be Jack? I mean, you've got things to figure out here.
He's your best option of tackle if he can play. That's really the way.
Jed Wills?
Yes.
I would agree with you. Right now.
We also don't know, like, we know Jack was back for practice, but we also don't know where Jack Conklin is. I mean, he can play the other side. Okay.
Or where DeJuan is.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know where any of them are. You're
they're
right.
All three are coming back from injury. That ended their seasons.
I guess the good news is, if you just want to take the headline from the day, it's that the Jed's back. Right? That's the good news.
Well, Jed, he was back at practice today, yes.
Well, that's got to be a step forward.
Sure,
I don't
absolutely.
Know how it
can't be. Absolutely. Whether he's back in the lineup or not, that's still to be determined.
I know. What do you think about his answer about winning game one? I mean, how many years have we walked off of game one and go, ugh, here we go? But I think if you think you're a successful team, and also, I thought you brought up a great point at the beginning of the show where, you know, you're talking about one of the older teams in the NFL. I think you have to set the stage early on. You can't sit back and go, oh, if we go 2-2 in our first four games, that's where we want to be.
You know what?
I can't do that.
Well, and here's the other thing. With anything in life, if you lose in an NFL season, more so than, say, baseball, though, but it's 17 games. If you lose that first game, at least for a little while, you're fighting uphill. Man, don't you want to come out with that momentum right away? That first game is so critical because it just seems like you're pushing a wagon uphill if you're losing that first game, and you've got to fight back and change momentum. You get that momentum right away, man, maybe build on it a little bit. Let's go. And a win over the Cowboys, Andy?
Yes.
Even though they're not, you know, they're not considered world beaters in the NFL anymore.
And they've got problems now.
They're still a good team. And a win at home over Dallas would be a real nice way for this group to start the season.
On national TV.
Real nice way.
On national TV.
With Deshaun playing well.
Yes.
I mean, come on. I mean, there's your perfect scenario. And that changes the narrative on what's going on here. Because all of a sudden, Deshaun's back and he's played well. The offensive line, if you're going to beat Dallas, has played well. That's huge. And if you can get off to a nice start, huge.
I just think it's we've sat here and then you start looking at the numbers for teams that start I'm not trying to be negative, trust me. That when you start the season 0-1, you're like, you start the season 0-2, and then they start putting up the percentages of, you know, teams that start the season 0-2 make it 60 some percent of the time. Then you hit 0-3, and you're like, I don't think this team's. I think worst case scenario, they're 2-2 to start for the first four games. And they need to worry about this week, and we can sit here and talk about the first four, first two, whatever. They don't have time to be worrying about stuff like that, but we do because we sit around and we look at history, and we see teams that struggle out of the gate, and to try to turn things around is really hard. It's Jeff's right. It's about trying to play the whole season uphill. Even if you start the season 2-4, and then I don't know, or even if you start the season 2-2, and then drop the next four, and you're looking at 2-6, it's still a different perspective because you've got two wins under your belt. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, dropping first four games of the season. I don't foresee that happening for this team at all. Something horrible would have to happen for that to play out. And there's always teams that start hotter than you thought they were going to. And there are also teams that start off cold and end up hot by the end of the season. And then you start questioning your preseason rituals and what you did then and who played and who didn't play. And did they get enough work in? And why is my team, you know, tackling so sloppy? It happens every year. It always happens because the way they played during the preseason or they didn't get enough reps during the preseason. That's why I think it's important they come out and win and just shut up all that stuff. Stifle, right? Come out and win. You got quiet fans. You got fans that are amped.
Stifle?
Excited. Yeah, it's a great word.
It's a great word. I don't think it's ever been uttered on our show.
I've used it before. I've used it.
I don't know about that.
Make the reference, but we all know what TV show it was, and I don't want to go down the old road, right? It's just where it is. That's why it's important they've got to come out and win. They have to win. I'm not saying it's
well,
a
no,
must
they
win.
Don't have to.
I'm not saying it's a man, must
it,
win.
It changes everything. Things. Yeah.
Yes.
Sure does. Sure does.
What else? When you go back and you think about what Greg Williams said there, Jeff, anything else hit you that said, oh, I'm going to take this with me?
I love listening to really smart guys talk about what they know. And so I really enjoyed just, you know, throwing some things at Greg and then letting him go and listening to what he had to say. He knows defensive football. He knows the National Football League. I just enjoyed talking to him.
Help me with this. When I asked him the season goes as Deshaun Watson goes, and then the answer ended up with him talking about Jim Schwartz, I'm still trying to figure out what he said there. Because it wasn't – like, I think we all know the season goes as Deshaun Watson goes, right? We're all kind of there, right? That's not Mensa stuff.
Remember, Greg's background is D.
Right.
I asked him about the Browns wide receivers and running backs, and before he was done, he was talking about Jim Schwartz slowing down CeeDee Lamb. Right?
Well, the other part
is – it back to D.
Yeah.
Being on time. He said that 2 to 3 different times when it came to Deshaun Watson. He needs to be on time.
And that doesn't mean showing up for meetings.
Well, and we know that Deshaun Watson likes to run around with the ball. We know that Deshaun Watson, they've built this offense with choice routes and a spread offensive system for the idea that he can scramble and he can make things happen with his legs and he can do that stuff. What's the one flaw the guy had coming out of Houston when everybody said he was one of the five best quarterbacks in football? He held onto the ball too long. It took too many sacks.
Got sacked like crazy.
And what do defensive coaches love? Quarterbacks that hold onto the ball too long and take too many sacks.
And Greg also said, look, this is how I changed Baker Mayfield. Get rid of the ball. When we were at, Jeff, when we were at the National Convention at the IX Center, he literally got up from his chair, got in my face, and tried to put me in Baker Mayfield's spot, yelling at me, saying, how you've got to get rid of the ball faster.
Did like, you throw the ball?
I did whatever he said at that point. He's bigger than I.
These are factual statements that I would have done the same.
He was sitting right there. I was just like, like, you know, you ask someone to kind of tell you what the story was. He let me feel the story about how he changed Baker Mayfield and made him a better quarterback. And it goes back to getting rid of the footballer, which is the same thing for Deshaun, is making sure. I just think Deshaun can make a play live longer than Baker, but I don't know the results may.
Yeah, but you may not want the play to live that long.
Yeah, live to see another day, yep, especially if you're going to get hurt.
I get it.
I think back, you know, when he got hurt last year, those situations where you're like, man, just throw the ball in the 15th row, and let's come back for second or third down, or if we got a punt, we got a punt. Who cares? At least you're not hurt. And I wonder how Deshaun's going to be in those situations going up. All right, we'll talk a little bit more about the Browns. I do want to check in on Deshaun Watson when he steps up to the podium, so we'll do all these things when we come back. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Both Jeff and I looked at each other and thought it was interesting that when asked about the left tackle spot, Deshaun said, yeah, you know, Jack and James, they'll be pretty good. And I was like, I didn't say
he
Jed.
He said we have two good guys there that Jed Wills apparently didn't get the memo.
So, this isn't shocking to me, not at all. The point is that maybe they go with James Hudson at left tackle and leave Jack on the right side and maybe don't use DeJuan Jones. Maybe they bring him in. That might be the other option. Maybe they just don't feel like, you know, DeJuan's hurt too. And so maybe they just don't feel
all
like
three
that.
Of them are hurt. Yeah,
maybe they don't feel comfortable in any one of those spots. I mean, let's face it. The reason that Deshaun didn't play in that third preseason game is because they didn't feel comfortable at left tackle. That's really the bottom line on it, is they didn't want to sugarcoat it, and you don't want to say to somebody who might be in that spot that you end up cutting 2 days later, hey, look, this isn't worth it. This isn't worth it at all.
Yeah, you didn't want to roll other guys out there and everything else. I get it. At least we think we get it, as long as Deshaun's not rusty the start of the game.
So then Jed goes back, and I don't have the tweets in front of me. You tell me, Dan, did he actually say, first I thought he said – he's not going to start, and then I think he said, I'm probably not playing. Is that what some of the tweets coming to the locker room is?
Yeah, so we're starting to get a little bit of what's taking place in the locker room and finding their way out. Dan Lobby has it that he doesn't expect to start. I have also seen it as he's not expected to play, involving Jedrick Wills as well. That's coming from pretty much everybody who is in the locker room, so it's sounding like I don't think we're going to see Jedrick Wills at left tackle.
Well, so that kind of like, weren't you a little surprised, Jeff, when Deshaun said James? I was like, did he mean Jed? And then I was like, no, James Hudson.
Kevin didn't give us any indication as to whether Jed would play or not. And that's okay. I mean, he doesn't have to. But Jed Wills apparently insinuating or saying that he's not going to play.
Which I think, he hasn't been on the field in months. And now suddenly he's back out there. I know he's
we do have three tackles coming back from season-ending injuries. So I would think there's a little question with each and every one of those guys. James Hudson's the healthiest. But you could also say he's the least accomplished of the tackles.
Well, that's true. He would be four on the depth chart.
That would be correct.
Yeah, I don't think there's any... if you want to take both and combine the tackle spots, I'm wondering what they're going to do. It's not. I kind of have a feeling they're going to start Jack at left and move DeJuan up. Don't you? Isn't that the feeling you kind of get?
I don't know.
If Jed's not playing, Jack's moving to left, and DeJuan's moving up.
I hate to be this blunt about it, but okay. If you're moving Jack to left tackle and DeJuan to right, which I get, then what happens when Jed Wills comes back? Is Jack then your swing tackle and sitting on the bench? I mean, James Hudson is your backup left tackle. And now that Jed's back practicing, they'll figure it out. You know, I mean, I got an email from Jack. He said, don't panic about tackle. I said, no, we're not panicking. We're just talking. I said, I think they have three good ones. And you know, can James Hudson go in and do the job? Yeah, he can too.
I don't think we're panicking about it. I think we're having a discussion about it.
Well,
I'd
like to think that.
But do you think that they panicked about it by going back to the Seattle preseason game?
No, right? I don't think they panicked about it. It was a preseason game. I do not need Deshaun Watson, who's played six games in each of the last two seasons, playing. I would have played him, but I don't need him to. I get that, and if you thought there were any issues at all, you just leave the guy out. I get it.
Yeah, I thought it would be too quick to put Jed Wills out there anyway. I just, even though he said he was coming back to practice, and I go back to the press conference for Kevin Stefanski earlier today where he had said, hey, you've got your entire team out there for you now. You know, what do you think of that? And you could hear it in the hesitation in his voice that you may have your whole team out there to be able to practice. That doesn't mean that they're all going to be able to play. Let's go to James in East Cleveland. Hi, James.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Hello, James.
Pretty fair, four square.
Nice.
Yep. Okay, now I've been hearing about this DeJuan Jones staying at right and Conklin moved over to the left. Now, Conklin just signed that 3-year contract, I believe, last year. So you got him on a contract for this year. Next year, they'll probably look at ways to get out of that contract. But I like to move to DeJuan Jones at left, period. Like, permanently just move the guy. I think he's big. The way he played last year, he's still young in his career. He has time to grow in that position. And regardless to who starts at left tackle this week, you'll probably see them slide a lot of protection over there, maybe putting the Joku on that side. So I don't know how big a game he'll have because they're going to need somebody to stay inside with the pass rushers that Dallas had.
James, I'd love to see DeJuan Jones play left tackle. And maybe that's just in my mind because the idea of a 6'8", 370-pound left tackle with good, quick feet – and that's
and he's young.
That's appealing, right? And it's young.
Yeah, and
the one thing he hasn't played, he hasn't played left tackle since his sophomore year at Ohio State. And in college, I believe the number is 170. He only played 170 snaps at left tackle. Did play left in high school, but remember then, this guy's not overly experienced on that side of the line. Doesn't mean he can't do it. And James, I would think if he's quick enough, he's ideally a left tackle, if he's quick enough. And that's the determination they have to make.
And most definitely. And like I say, he's still young. He still can learn a position. And I think he's still a better option than Jedrick Wills, even with the inexperience. And when you say 170 snaps, it might not be a lot, but it sounds like a lot to me. Put the guy in there. Thanks, guys, for taking my call. I'll let y'all next time.
Thank you. Right, appreciate it, James.
One thing to remember about Jed Wills. He wouldn't want this, I'm sure. There was talk of, you know, and remember, he was a right tackle. Browns moved him to the left.
Right. Correct.
There's talk that he could be a guard. I mean, he could become the absolute super, I can play anywhere on the line guy. I mean, he really could.
Sure.
And that's not an insult. Bruce Matthews is in the Hall of Fame. And Bruce played tackle, guard, and center for the Houston Oilers. I mean, he played it all, Clay's brother. And so versatility on the offensive line doesn't mean you're not good. It means you're versatile and you can do it all. I mean, Bruce Matthews is one of the greatest offensive linemen ever. And whatever the Oilers needed him to play, he just did.
You're right. And who knows what you're going to have down the road here. I mean, you know, when they picked up Wyatt Teller or they picked up Ethan Posick, I don't know that we thought that their longevity on this team was going to be forever, right? And those guys got in there, grabbed the jobs, and just, you know, put their feet in the ground, and they kept them. And they've done a fantastic job since they've been able to earn those spots. Were we sold on either one of those guys? You know, Wyatt came in from Buffalo, and Ethan came in from Seattle. So I just think I find it interesting to look at our offensive line. And if we're going to sit around, if it doesn't work perfectly, if we're going to sit around and go, oh, man, it was all about the coach. I don't think that's the case. I hope not.
Let me give you more specifics on my versatility thought with Bruce Matthews in particular.
Sure.
And think about it. If Jedrick has the ability to move around to those positions, in Bruce Matthews' career, starting first year, right guard, second year, center and right tackle, third year, right tackle. Fourth year, left tackle. Fifth year, back to right guard. Then played center for 4 straight years. Then moved to left guard for the first time in his career for a 6-year stretch. And then finished his career as a center. So the guy was all around the offensive line. I could see maybe Jed Wills becoming that kind of a guy. I don't see DeJuan becoming that kind of a guy. He's too big, I think. You're not going to have a 6'8", 360-pound center.
I'd like to have him at left tackle, though.
I would, too.
But you got to work him there. You can't just throw a guy into an NFL
Andy,
game.
You couldn't do that this year, I don't think. I don't think you can just put DeJuan there at left tackle. At the very least, you're working him in practice like crazy. That hasn't happened. I would think if they want to make that move, they're making that move next offseason.
I would think, but again, when do you take the time to learn, to move, to switch positions? You know what I'm saying?
If you did it next offseason, you'd have the entire offseason to figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know. It's also not, at the end of the day, it's football too, right? I mean, the techniques are still the same. You're just doing them on the opposite side.
Well, in theory.
You would think. I don't know how that works. I feel good about this team going into this week's game, and whatever happens at left tackle, maybe you just bring the ball over to the right side and you'll feel better about it. What do you got?
I mean, we love throwing this around of, oh, yeah, it's just the other side and that stuff. Spend a day trying to write with your left hand. Spend a day trying to start when you walk with the other foot. Like, it's harder than you think. It's this simple, like, oh, yeah, go stand over there and you'll figure it out. Like, this actually, like, takes some time and it takes some effort. And you got to get used to some
stuff. I'm
not
questioning that.
Which is why you just don't drop somebody in there.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we both agree on that.
A young guy like DeJuan Jones.
Is it really that, like, trying to write with your other hand after you've never written with
your
other hand?
That seems a little severe.
I can't believe that that's the...
I mean, it's a completely different footwork idea that you got to have. Like, it's not the same thing as always. You're leading with a different foot. You're looking at things at a different angle. You're doing stuff differently. Maybe not as severe as writing with the other hand, but boy, it's change. You got to think. And in a sport where you have no time to think, when you start adding thought, you got a problem.
Certainly the case with our show.
Yeah, do we have any tackles we can call really quick just to find out?
We have tackles on speed call.
I got to go look at my Rolodex real quick. Who's the quickest tackle we could call?
Greco.
Oh, yeah. What's he? Oh, he works now.
John's got a job?
What's that about? Yeah, I hear him on the morning show because he can't do our show anymore.
Either that or he's just making up a story about a gig.
Or Menigan said something that upset him.
Exactly.
That would be.
Could have been.
Dan, you've been known to do that before.
I have such a long history of doing such things.
You sure do.
Do you think it'd be a big deal if, you know, when we talk about the Browns playing in another stadium, if they just moved 5 miles away, would 5 miles away from downtown be a bummer? Think about that for a second. 216-474-0092. Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.